Blog Talk Radio.
Chatter Radio, the internet's classiest and most on-time hockey podcast. Both live. Broadcasting and streaming live in 49 states and Canada and a few other places too, here on blogtalkradio.com. I am Chris Block, writer, editor, and keeper of thethirdmanian.com, puckchatter.com, here on this Thursday night, July the 26th, 2012, 8:02 here in Chicago, Superstar.
Yes, sir.
Were you worried there for a second?
A little bit.
How you doing, my friend?
I'm good. And yourself?
Busy. Everything's real busy. Looking forward to a good weekend coming up. Maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later on. How about yourself?
Busy. It's the summer, so you know how it goes in the summer. It's like you think you have a weekend totally empty to do whatever the hell you want. And then Thursday comes around, and all of a sudden you realize you don't have a weekend. You blink, and Monday's here.
Something you want to get off your chest, Superstar?
No.
Not right now.
As a married man, your calendar fills up without you even knowing your calendar fills up. So it's fine. I'll work through it for the greater good and to keep everyone happy. But not a lot I can do about it.
I can't wait to hear about this at a later date.
it'll be a good one.
I got similar stories, but no, everything's been good. Actually, I saw my ex the other day.
I heard, I didn't really hear how it went, though, briefly, but not too in-depth, so.
Yes, my ex was in town, and it was nice. I mean, we went out to eat on the other night. I don't know when it was. Today's Thursday, right?
Yeah.
We went out to eat. And then we went over and we had some Who Gardens and Peroni at the Sweetwater Tavern. And but then she was really tired, so she went home, or back to her hotel. she couldn't hang out all night and dance a little longer. That wasn't going to happen. But we had lunch yesterday. I guess it would have been yesterday before she left town at Cozy at Clark and Lake. Good sandwiches there.
They do have some good sandwiches.
Yes. She visits a lot in New York. So we went there, and then she went home. But it was really nice seeing her. I saw her. I haven't seen her in, I guess it would have been 3 years until I saw her in May. She came in Mother's Day weekend for a day. But it's nice seeing her.
That's good. She's a very nice girl, and we always got along, so.
Yeah, she's a great girl. Someday she's going to make somebody very, very happy.
Oh, you just opened it up for emails on that one.
The last thing I need is more emails. Yeah. We're going to do emails a little bit later on if we have time, and I can't imagine us not having time because there is nothing going on. Not the Blackhawks. I don't know. You know, I figured I was emailing back and forth with somebody the other day, who a listener, that was asking, like, when is there going to be a show? And I said, well, dude, I scheduled a show for Thursday. And he's like, well, you schedule shows all the time and don't do shows. Yeah. And I said, this is true. You got me there. But I told him, I said, well, we figure if we wait long enough to do a show, there'll be something to talk about.
Right.
I don't think we waited long enough, Superstar.
No. I mean, it might have been training camp before something happened and we have something to talk about. I mean, we can always appease the other half of our audience who likes when we don't even talk hockey because there's nothing going on. But, you know.
Well, there are a couple of things, and we'll get to those a little bit later on. We'll get to emails, and we'll talk about some of the other things that are going on around the National Hockey League, maybe a little bit about the CBA. Before we do that, I got a story to tell you, Superstar.
Love stories.
Well, first of all, I want to tell the story, but it's kind of gross, and remind me at the end of the show, remind me to tell the story about, it's rather kind of disgusting. I think some people would find it disgusting. Remind me to tell the story about my dog and the rat.
Okay. I will definitely not forget that.
Okay. But I want to tell you the story. So today I had to be out of the house. I got a real early start this morning because I had to be in Oak Brook at 7:30. So I, you know, and of course, what does that mean? That means I slept for maybe 3 hours. So I get up, I shower, I'm running, you know, run out. I get in the car and I realize that amongst other things, I forgot my sunglasses.
And oh, that's not good.
I'm at like week. I know this is terrible, and don't anybody like email me or call me or come up to me and say, you know, block you. You can't do that. I know this is bad, but you know, I keep my contacts in all the time. I never take them out. And we're on week like 6 right now. So I get in the car, and it's real sunny, and the sun hits the windshield, and I start to feel my eye is a bit irritated. So I'm thinking, I can't drive all the way to Oak Brook like this. So I had to stop and get, you know, along with my morning coffee, I stopped at a convenience store and decided, well, I'll buy some sunglasses. Well, it's one of those things where the display is, like, right up by the register, and, of course, it's morning, it's rush hour, everybody's running in and out, and there's people crowding around me, and I can't deal with it. So I just, like, I looked, and I go, these look okay, and I put them on briefly. I looked in that little tiny mirror, which, of course, I had to duck down, like, 3 feet to look into, and then I said, okay, these look fine. I put them down on the counter, I pay for everything, and I walk out the door, and boom, I'm in the car. I'm cleaning them up, I take off the sticker, I put them on, I look in the mirror. I realize I bought lady sunglasses.
Not good.
When I originally looked at them, I was like, my first thought was Top Gun, right? You know, because, you know, a lot of
right.
people walk around with, like, those aviator sunglasses. And, you know, you
see
those.
That's a big trend.
Yeah, you see, it's a real douchey move, but you see that all the time
yeah.
now. Yeah. Well, I looked at it, and I said, well, it's not too aviator, and I'm just looking for something to, you know, get me through the day. So, and they were like $10, and I was like, whatever. But then I'm looking at them, and I go, it's Top Gun, all right, but it's like Kelly McGillis Top
yeah.
Gun.
Yeah, it's Kelly, exactly. It's not the Goose or Maverick or the Iceman. You got Kelly McGillis written all over
you. I was Kelly McGillis cool today. Because I got downtown probably about 11, and, it was really sunny out, and I had to go somewhere, and it was kind of a long walk, and I was like, God, my eyes still hurt. Maybe I should just – I actually had the conversation with myself – do I put these sunglasses on, these lady sunglasses on, and walk the mile or however long I had to walk, or do I just bite the bullet and get a cab? And save myself the humiliation, I walked it, though.
Of course you did.
Yeah.
And Block, for your sake, I hope you age better than Kelly McGillis.
Oh, not good? I don't.
Not good.
I haven't looked
not
Kelly
good.
McGillis up lately.
Yeah, not good.
probably since I was 10.
You're looking her up right now, aren't you?
No, no, I'm not. I'm afraid to do anything. I'm afraid to do anything on this computer right now. I've got like 6 screens, 3 browsers, and the show. I'm not doing anything. Blackhawks convention was last weekend. Did you follow that along at all?
No, I didn't follow. I heard there's, you know, an apology about the drinking escapade. And that was a quote, I believe, the drinking escapade of Patrick Kane. As far as that, other than that, no. I didn't pay attention to 1 second of the awe convention.
Yeah, you know, my thoughts on the Hawks convention, I think, are pretty well known. But there were 2 newsworthy items that came out of the entire weekend. And that's really all I care about. And the 2 things, one you just mentioned, Patrick Kane says he doesn't believe that he has a drinking problem. And Marian Hossa says he thinks he's okay. So, there you go. Blackhawks fans rejoice because Marian Hossa says he's okay. I remember last year about this time, Jeremy Morin said he was okay, too. Jeremy Morin didn't play until the middle of October and didn't really get his game going until January. I take Marian Hossa's comments about as serious as I do. You know how like in the morning you see the people, you know, the people that you work with and you work around and you're like, hey, how you doing? And no one ever says like, oh, I'm really doing crappy today. No one ever says that. You know, they all say, yeah, doing great. Oh, good. How are you? You know, it's like they're not going to say like, I think my girlfriend's cheating on me, or my boyfriend's such a dick. You know, they don't say that. They just, oh yeah, that's everything. You know, you don't know what's really going on, and they don't want to tell you.
Yeah.
So,
meanwhile, their true life is a country song. You know, the wife left them, the dog is sick, and the bank is about to take the house. But they're doing all right.
People have learned not to ask me how I'm doing in the morning because I go, oh, let me tell you something, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how I keep people at bay. Let me tell you a story.
I've learned that. I mean, we've been on plenty of road trips where we've checked out of a hotel and we're, you know, an hour and a half down the road before I even say, what's going on, man? And we're the only ones in the car.
Well, after a long trip, you know, there's only so much you can say to one another. Speaking of which, coming up in the not-too-distant future.
Oh, good plug.
I bring this up because it was mentioned on Twitter the other day, and I actually I retweeted it, and I gave it a mention. Our friends at Radio Exposed, radioexposed.com. They are a .com, right?
No, they are a .net.
.net. Well, he should work on that. Tinky and Louie over there, they should work on that. But, okay, radioexposed.net. He's going to kill me. I haven't on, you know, how you say, the favorite. So, I mean, as soon as I start typing, it goes in. So I never even get that far.
Right.
My apologies.
I haven't corrected you in the last 2 years since they've been doing it. So all that pub that we've been giving them has been going to somebody else.
RadioExposed.net. Last year, we did a live remote with them. In which everybody was drinking. Everybody was drinking, not just drinking, everybody was drinking very heavily. And we didn't start recording until much later in the day. Well, we are going on this trip, and we are going to do a live remote again. And it's going to be recorded, and it's going to be put on the internet, and people are going to listen to it. And the reason why I bring this up is because Tinky, who does a great job at programming his show, like, he knows what he's going to talk about on his show, like, 3 weeks in advance.
Right.
20 minutes ago?
They're very professional over there.
It's 8:14 right now. 20 minutes ago, I didn't know what we were going to talk about on the show. So, I mean, he does a great job over there. He's informed me that his plan for us, you Superstar, you're going to be on there, too. His plan for us on this show, which we're all going to be inebriated, we're all going to be jolly, and it's going to be hot, it's going to be outdoors, His plan for this show is for us to talk about hockey, of course. We're from the thirdmanin.com, Fuck Chatter Radio, and all those other fun things. But he also wants to talk about hockey media.
Yeah, I did see that, the mention of hockey media.
Yeah, well, the reason why I'm a little bit, I'll talk about it. I don't care. I'm probably going to say a lot of things that people aren't going to like. I'll save it for his show, and then we'll talk about it after that, I guess, at some point. I'm probably going to say some things that are going to get me in trouble. But the point I'm trying to, all of this is leading to, is last year on that show that we did with them, the live remote, apparently I said a lot of things that Tinky used discretion about and actually deleted from the show, and he's promised not to do that this year.
Oh, so, good.
Yeah, so there you go. There's the plug.
That's a solid plug right there.
You talk about Joe Quenneville hanging himself from the noose this coming season. Chris Flock coming to the internet near you.
that's going to be, you know, Puck Jenner TTMI unplugged.
Yeah, Tinky wants to talk. I chatted with him briefly about that a couple of days ago, I guess, or last week, something like that. I don't know. About what he wants to talk about. And it's not, when we say hockey media, it's basically newspapers and internet writers, bloggers, if you will. So that's what we're going to talk about. And I do have some pretty strong opinions and thoughts on what's going on. So we'll save it for that show.
Looking forward to that.
There are a lot of people, I'm sure of it. What else is going on? Speaking of media, Sarah Kustak, she gone.
I did not hear that.
Sarah Kustak leaving CSN Chicago for New York. New York City. You upset about that?
That's actually a little surprising, figuring how ingrained that the Kustak clan is in the city of Chicago. I mean, not only her, but, you know, her brother playing football at Northwestern, and I don't know what the hell he's doing now, but...
And her father killing her mother. Yeah, that too.
Well, yeah, you know, they're ingrained in the war.
They're very ingrained.
So, I
couldn't
imagine
anything want to leave town. I'm not surprised she's leaving at all, really. And I'll just say this. And this is about her work, okay? Like, I've seen some reaction to it, like, oh, my God, Sarah Kustak's leaving. Oh, you know, so sad. I'll say this about Sarah Kustak. She seems like a really nice person, okay? She's a pretty girl, okay? But, and she does, I mean, I think she does exactly what she's supposed to do in that role, which is basically just ask the most bland questions and just let the athletes speak, which is all that person in that role at a station that's owned by all the Chicago local sports, or almost all of the local sports teams, the Cubs, the Sox, the Bulls, and the Blackhawks. I mean, she's not there to ask any serious questions. And she also worked at NBC5. I wouldn't know that. I don't really. I mean, I've seen her on there, but she also worked there too. But I am not going to miss Sarah Kustak in terms of the yelling, the back of the mouth speaking voice. no offense to her. It's not a personal attack. It's just, it was so annoying.
Yeah, you were never a big fan.
It's nothing against her personally. It's just the presentation. I've seen her in person. She's very nice. Okay? It's just, I think we can do better. That's what I'm saying. I wish her luck. That's great. That's great that she got that gig. You know, but I think we can do better. I think we'll survive.
I don't know. The post game interviews will never be the same.
You just put Dan Rowan there.
That's true.
Joe Quenneville picked his assistant coach. Oh,
I saw that, but I don't. I mean, other than him coming from LA, I don't know a lot about
it. Jamie Compan was just an assistant on Daryl Sutter's staff in LA. Won the Stanley Cup. He had been out there for a while. He coached under Joe Quenneville. I mean, this is a staff that has worked together. I think, I mean, it was 12 years ago, but this is a staff that's worked together. Compan, Kitchen, and Quenneville worked together in 1999-2000 season, which was the year that the Blues won the President's Trophy. So, I mean, this is a staff that's familiar with each other. They've had success. But, I mean, this is funny. I heard Compan's name weeks ago. That, you know, someone, you know, I was talking with someone. They said, "Well, it's probably going to be Compan," because I mean, we talked about this before. No big name is going to come here. I mean, it was Joe Quenneville's hire. It's not Stan Bowman's hire. So, like, Joe Quenneville's not going to hire the hotshot AHL coach who's in line to be an NHL coach someday, like Mike Havlin. He wasn't going to hire Mike Havlin again, of another name, whether it be John Cooper, whomever. He wasn't going to do that. He was going to hire somebody he knew. He was going to hire someone that was close to him and someone who, needed the gig. Because this coaching staff, and I wrote about this in the Committed Indian last week or whenever that was. It was last week. This is one and done for this coach. I really, I believe that I believe everybody involved knows that Joe Quenneville, this is his last year. So, I mean, how is he gonna bring in somebody of high quality? One of the first things that was funny, if you're someone that follows Twitter, maybe you saw this. Chris Cook, the writer at the Chicago Tribune. Right after the Compan announcement was made, an hour or so after it was made, Chris Cook put up on his Twitter that a source that he knew that has experience with Compan said that he quoted this source saying that he's completely inept at running a power play. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but that's basically what the quote was. So what did Joe Quenneville do at the Blackhawks convention? He told everybody that Compan's going to run the Blackhawks power play.
Of course. Why would he do something different?
I don't know. Unless Joe Quenneville wins the Stanley Cup this year, and even if he does, Stan's not going anywhere. Every coach, with probably exception of Barry Trotz and Mike Babcock, or Lindy Ruff, it's like 5 years is kind of like the max. In 5 years, there's been a lot of new faces that have come through, a lot of different, different guys that have come through, and certainly since winning the Cup. But, I mean, the main core, for lack of a better term, has been here throughout, and at a certain point, they're going to need a new voice. So I think everybody kind of knows that this is it for Quenneville, unless things turn around in a positive manner. They win a Stanley Cup. He gets some leverage back in his corner, which he doesn't have right now. I mean, he used the one thing that he had, which was to be able to hire his own assistant. And the Bowmans didn't fight him on it, as we talked about with Sam Fells a few weeks or a month or so ago, whatever that was. That was in May. That was flying by. It's the Heat, superstar. It's the Heat.
A few months ago. It's all the same.
Yeah. It was May 8th. It was the day. It was the day Mike Havlin was fired. That was the day. Anyway. We talked about this, you know. They're giving Joel Quenneville enough rope to hang himself. If it works out great, then it works out great. But Joel's the one that has 2 years left on his contract. And I don't, unless he gets himself some leverage with the people above Stan and Scotty, which is what's important, then I just don't see the Bowmans giving him another deal. I see them, you know, using their leverage at that point, saying, well, no, we'll talk after your deal is done. Or we're going to start this season and see how things go. And I just don't see Joel wanting to be a lame duck head coach. I think that scenario comes to a head, and they choose to dissolve their relationship. That's how I see that thing playing. And it could even happen if Joel wins the cup. Joel may say, you know what, I want to take a year off, and then I want to go to Montreal. And they'll say, okay, fine. You know, Stan, at some point, Stan's going to want to hire his own head coach. And I think we're a year away from that, at most. Because, again, I mean, we've talked about it a lot. Well, I think a lot of people have talked about it. Joe Quenneville, I don't know how short the leash is, but for certain, you lose 9 games in a row again this year, like you did last year, he's gone.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you'll start hearing the cry for it if they get off to a slow start. I mean, depending on how slow of a start, but if they get off to a slow start, you know those columns and those pieces are coming.
Let's go through some of the other news here before we go to emails and stuff. Blackhawks and the Rockford IceHogs extended their affiliation agreement with ECHL's Toledo Walleye. There's a significant point here, and not many people would be interested in this, but it's significant in that they extended the agreement 2 years. In the past, they've only extended it 1 year. Every off season that they've extended the agreement a year, and Toledo also shares that affiliation agreement with the Detroit Red Wings. So, you know, I mean, speaking with people that work for the Blackhawks, I know that they've been very happy with the Toledo agreement. Number one, Toledo's close enough that, you know, if there's an injury on Friday night, Mark Bernard, the GM of the Rockford IceHogs, can get on the phone and call Toledo, especially if they're in Toledo, and, you know, the guy can jump in the car and be in Rockford and at the morning skate in the morning. And, you know, that's a big thing. And I also think that there's a psychology to it, and that I think that they like the fact that the players are far enough away. It's convenient enough, but they're also far enough away from Rockford that when you get sent to Toledo, it feels like a demotion. It feels like kind of like a punishment. they're not a punishment necessarily in the true definition of that term, but you know what I'm saying. It, you know, a lot of people suggested what did they call themselves? The Chicago Express. When the Chicago Express joined the ECHL, a lot of people suggested, well, why don't the Blackhawks? That would work out perfect. The Blackhawks have Rockford is 90 minutes away. You know, the ECHL guys are in Hoffman Estates, which is, you know, 45, 50 minutes away from the United Center. You know, it's that would be ideal. Well, yeah, if you're thinking about it that way. But, you know, if you've got guys in Rockford that are kind of on the bubble and they get sent to Hoffman Estates, like, psychology-wise, how devastating of a hit is that? Not very. But if you got to get in the car and drive, you know, the 6 hours or whatever it is to Toledo, I think it's, I don't think it's that much. I think it's four and a half. But if you got to do that, well, that feels like a demotion. I think there's some psychology to that too. But I know that they're very happy with Toledo. Toledo outdraws the IceHawks, number one, which is a problem in and of itself.
Yeah.
But I think Toledo's a very good hockey town, and they've got they built a gorgeous new arena, especially for that, you know, that size market. A really nice arena. They've got great fans. They pack the place on weekends. They do what minor league teams do during the week, but they've got a nice tradition of hockey there in Toledo, and you know, I mean, the Blackhawks didn't have too many players there last year, but you know, it's been okay for them, so that's significant.
And, you know, it's funny, you mentioned the psychology of having to leave Rockford and go to Toledo as a demotion or a punishment, something you should take as a negative in your life. I've never left Rockford thinking this is a bad thing.
There's a whole lot there, Superstar.
Oh, I know. I'm going to hear about that joke later.
I understand. That just went over. Now, you're taking this to a whole new level.
Yeah.
I say things on this show that go completely over the heads of 99% of the people listening. Now you're taking it to a new level.
That's what I'm here for, buddy.
Dustin,
trust me,
Bufflin.
I'm
going to
pay for that joke later.
I know you will.
Yeah.
I hope you do. Dustin Bufflin pleads guilty to careless boating, drunken boating charge dropped. Not a surprise there. Dustin Bufflin out of trouble. He was set to go to court on Monday in Minneapolis, and basically when they got to court, instead of going to trial, a plea was reached. This was on Lake Minnetonka last August, so about 11 months ago. So he pled guilty to careless boating. So since he did that, the other charge was dropped. He gets a year probation, 2 days of public service, a $1,000 fine, and a day in alcohol education program. We never did find out what that brown stain on his tongue was, though. He's not in education for that.
No.
You want to talk about this? This is a couple weeks old now, but I got a lot of entertainment out of the Dave Bolin for Roberto Luongo rumor.
I didn't even hear that. I mean, I obviously heard rumors, but I didn't hear specific.
Well, basically a Vancouver columnist or a writer published in the Province, I want to say. Again, I'm kind of afraid to use the computer right now. I don't want to lose the show, but basically floated that rumor saying that the Blackhawks offered Dave Bolin for Roberto Luongo, which, of course, You know, Blackhawks fans are a funny bunch. You know, we just talked about Dustin Byfuglien, right? And I've had to hear, or not recently, but back in the day, 2 years ago, all we heard about Dustin Byfuglien was that, oh, you know, everybody's excited over Dustin Byfuglien because of what he did in one playoff series or in one playoff or against Luongo. It's like, okay, explain Dave Bolin to me then. Explain the infatuation with Dave Bolin. Dave Bolin's made his name off of irritating the Sedins and Joe Thornton. That's it. What's so special about Dave Bolin when you take that out of his biography?
Not a lot.
Okay. So, you know, I'm not campaigning for Roberto Luongo. I think the Blackhawks are, you know, it's just too much contract. If the contract was different, you know, maybe my thoughts on it would be different. That's just too much contract to take on. And maybe he's great for 1 year, and then he falls off, and then, you know, you still got so much contract there. I mean, that's why I'm just kind of like no on the Roberto Luongo. But just taking it guy for guy, I mean, why is that? You know, I mean, Blackhawks fans were aghast. Oh, my God. How could that's not a good deal.
Yeah, I mean, if you take the contract out of it and you said to me, we'll give you Roberto Luongo straight up for Dave Bolin, I can't make the call to the league announcing that trade quick enough. Now, once again, you throw the contract in and, you know, there's a lot of other moving parts there, but just guy for guy, you make that move in a heartbeat.
I like Dave Bolin when Dave Bolin's at his best. I do. But that you don't see that enough. And, you know, for a guy that, you know, people are in love with and they claim, you know, they believe is untouchable or a part of the core that can't be missed and can't be lost, the guy can't elevate himself above the third line. Why is he untouchable? Why can the Blackhawks not do without him?
Well, you remember, Blackhawks fans are so, I mean, the Cup team is still so ingrained, and you have a guy from the Cup team who would be leaving, and that's another piece of, you know, that team that everyone loves so much that's not here. And I think Blackhawks fans need to realize that was a long time ago now. We, you know, that was two full seasons ago. We've had two different Stanley Cup champions since. There's a lot of other guys on the team that weren't on the team.
But the game is different now.
The
game has changed
exactly.
A lot in 2 years. I mean, that's
different. The players are different. Yeah, we're always going to love that team that won the Stanley Cup, but guess what? You know, you need to keep evolving or you're going to fall, and you're going to fall hard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know, I think the right move, Dave Bolin's got 2 years left on his deal. His cap hits 3.375. You know, but even now in sort of today's economy with, you know, the inflation of the salary cap and guys like today, and we'll get into some of these topics, Alexander Semin signed with the Carolina Hurricanes, 1 year, $7 million. You know, Patrick Sharp's cap hits 5.9. Now, of course, it's spread out over a number of years, but, I mean, those are two comparable players. But, you know, inflation has taken over. So Dave Bolin signed that deal 3 years ago. And now, you know, at the time, it looked like, wow, this guy's got to be the second-line center or this is overpaying for him. And now, 3 years later, it's kind of like, well, no, for a third-line center that is a prominent third-line center, that's okay. I mean, you know, it's not overpaying anymore in today's NHL economy. But still, in 2 years, are you going to resign him? I don't think so. So I think you do have to explore
not
trading.
Not at that cap rate.
No, you're going to have to pay more for them. Especially if the legend of Dave Bolin still exists 2 years from now. Somebody will overpay for him. Somebody will believe that he could be the second-line center on their team. And he probably could on a lot of teams. But it hasn't worked out here in how many years?
Enough.
I'm not advocating moving Dave Bolin for the sake of moving Dave Bolin, but I mean, just the thought that he's like, oh my God, you can't trade Dave Bolin for Roberto Luongo. It's like, get a grip.
You know, it would have been great, Block, if you make that trade and then you make Dave Bolin room on the road with the Sedin. Or not.
I was drinking for my coffee.
Yeah, all right.
All right, anything else on your mind?
No.
I think next year we should probably send somebody to the convention on our behalf. And then,
because God forbid we're not going.
No, I'm not going. I stay as far away from those kind of things as possible. But I think next year we should. And this would be, you know, and I almost completely forgot about this. But I mentioned this to you the other day. The last show that I did, which was the Prospect Camp recap with Brad Gardner, that day, that show, as I mentioned on that show, was the exact 3-year anniversary of this show.
Remarkable.
Our show. The Third Man In Radio, Puck Chatter Radio, as it is now. 3 years, Superstar. Congratulations.
Thank you. Congratulations to you as the mastermind behind this. And the time has flown by. Just crazy.
I couldn't believe it was 3 years. I mean, of course, what are we on now? 114 of these? It's not exactly, like when we started, we were like, okay, we'll do one a week. It doesn't add up to one a week, 114, but, you know, we got to 100 and I didn't quit. So
You thought about it for a long time.
If circumstances in my life were different than they are now, I probably would have quit, but we're going to keep on trucking.
As we should.
You're now 113 shows. Now, you haven't been on all of them, but 113 shows, does anything stick out to you as memorable?
Well, you know, if I look back at the best moments of this show, there's been so many. I hate to sound cliche. There's been so many ups and downs, but there's a lot of things that stick into my mind. Obviously, as we got going and we got started and where we're going, looking back at how funny some of those technical disaster shows that we had, I don't know another podcast or anything that has dealt with more technical glitches than we have in 3 years.
One night I tried to do the show in my backyard on a cell phone. Didn't work out. That show got deleted. We had one time when, just as, you know, the folks listening can't hear this, but when, as the show's getting ready, we hear there's a countdown. And it's like 5, 4, and my power went out. a lot of stuff like that. Any shows in particular, interviews that
I was thinking about this, some of the great guests, and obviously we have you know, we do a lot of guests that are here that we do a lot, you know, Al and Sam and those guys. The ones that stay out to me, though, are, you know, Mayor's Manor comes on, and I thought that interview was great. Obviously, the Steve Ludzik interview was classic because he thought I was sleeping the whole time. I thought those two really stuck out as really great ones. You know, it's always interesting when we have a guest because I get to shut up and just kind of take in the great info coming from somebody other than yourself.
Yeah, I have a different take on that Mayor's Manor interview, and if you ever see me at a bar, we'll have a drink over it. I'll tell you all about it. but no, I mean, he had good information and stuff. It just, Steve Ludzik interview was great. The one interview that I really liked that no one ever heard, unless the handful of people that were listening live, was the interview that we did with player agent Scott Norton.
That one was a great interview as well.
A great interview that was just so technically ravaged that, I actually transcribed a lot of it and put it on the website. That was a really good interview. Talk to you about Scott Norton at the bar, too, if you'd like. nothing really bad. In case someone's listening, boy, wait till that Radio Exposed interview. I was thinking about this today actually. I really enjoyed the beginning parts of the show when we really didn't know what we were doing or what we were trying to accomplish or what the show was going to be. And, like, I would just say, like, anything.
You were very uncensored back then.
I was very uncensored. I'd get on here and just start telling stories about what I did, like, the weekend before. And it was very ill-advised to tell some of those stories. because, I mean, I'll say this. The reason why we were doing some of that stuff is because, at least in the beginning, before I realized how much work these things actually are when you're actually trying to program them and graph them out and hit all these topics and be on time and things like that, and boy, we scrapped that right away. But that's just too much work for me. I have a busy life. I don't need that. But when we were trying to do that and I realized how much work it all was, and it's much more than just jump on at 8 o'clock and then jump off at 9 o'clock and then it's done. I mean, there are podcasts that do that. And I want to talk a minute about our audience in a second and the numbers, but, I put the show on the website and there's a lot that goes into that. So very early on, my thought behind the show was to do a show with you in which we kind of just talked about whatever and kind of were more opinionated and say anything kind of stuff. And then actually to do a second show every week that was more serious, had serious guests, like serious hockey talk and stuff like that. And so when I didn't really think that I could do two shows every week and I didn't want to start promising more than I could pull off or at least do regularly, and we kind of decided like, oh, we're just going to do one show, that we were trying to find that balance of how we were going to do it. And I still don't think that we found that balance, but I think we're better at it now. But that was, just thinking back about it, it was pretty stressful at the time. But thinking back on it, those to me were probably the most fun anyway.
Well, yeah, those were a ton of fun. And it's funny because I think we obviously put out a better show now than we did then. I think it's a much different show. Like, we've changed with the league, Glock. It's funny because we're so much less prepared now than we used to be.
Well, we're veterans.
Right. Well, we just wing it now. I mean, back then, we'd actually have a somewhat of a layout that we very loosely follow. But now it's,
Usually when we have guests, like you never get this anymore, but when we have guests, usually the guests are prepped as far as like sort of kind of the major topics that we're going to hit and kind of in order. So they're prepared and they, you know, they can speak intelligently. One thing that really annoys me when I go on other podcasts, and aside from Hockey Night, because Hockey Night's more or less like a powwow, and I, you know, and with them, I know them, so I kind of know where it's going anyhow. But if I go onto a show that, you know, whether it's Nashville, L.A., I did a Vancouver show. Like when I go on these other shows, and they're just like, "Oh yeah, just call in at this time," and it's like, "Okay," you know. And then you get, you know, you're not told what you're going to talk about. It's like, "Oh yeah, we're going to talk about the Blackhawks." It's like, "Okay, fine. What are we going to talk about?" You know. And then they ask you a question, and you know, especially with me, I got 100 things going on every day. You know, I mean, I could talk about the Blackhawks all day long, and some days I do talk about the Blackhawks all day long. But, you know, I want the guests to be able to know in advance, like, okay, he's going to ask this, and so they can think about that topic and what they want to say. And that's, like, my biggest pet peeve when I go on other shows. So the guests that we have usually are prepared. Now, there's been some, and that last show that we did with Al, you know, Al, I didn't know Al was coming on until 5 minutes before that we started. And I think we did one not too long ago with Al where I was just, you know, I was too busy. I just said, we'll just wing it. And it actually turned out real well. But Al and I could do that. And Sam and I could do that too. But I like to prep them. Well, we used to do that in the beginning. We don't do that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, prep is overrated.
Here's where I do a thank you. And I did this on Twitter, even on the website a little bit. And I don't want to get too much into this because it's really not too much that I want to boast about or anything like that. But the numbers for this show have, over the last 3 or 4 months, have just gone, like, up. I mean, the last show with Al that we did was our second most listened to show ever. And you know, and that's just going based off of the information I get from Blog Talk, understanding that that's probably 60% of our audience. The other 40% either download the show straight from thethirdmanin.com or stream it there, which, you know, aren't numbers that I can get accurately, but I can gauge by traffic. but the show that I just did with Brad Gardner, surprising me, was our most listened to show ever. So I was shocked by that. Nothing against Brad. I just, you know, it was a Saturday afternoon show in the middle of July. And, you know, I mean, it's a weird thing because it's summertime. People are focusing less on hockey. Traffic on all the hockey websites is going to be down, of course. So it was surprising to me that would be the, you know, we would do those kind of numbers. But in fact, it is, officially, unofficially, the most listened to episode of this show. And I just wanted to thank, you know, everybody that kind of hangs in there with us. Like, you know, I said at the top of the show, you know, sometimes these things get scheduled and they don't happen. And I mean, no one feels worse about that than I do, because, you know, I know that a lot of people do, whether it's just filling time at their cubicle during the day, you know, waiting to hear what, you know, I'm going to go off about, or, you know, whether they, you know, they really value the information and stuff that they get here. I feel bad when we try to do a show, or we plan to do a show and we don't do a show. And I just want to thank everybody that hangs in there with us and keeps coming back. And I'm surprised. And, you know, I don't know how many other, you know, I know Hockey Night's out there. I know there's a couple other things out there. I know Hockey Buzz started one. John Jackal over there, I know he started one recently. I don't think Second City Hockey does a podcast anymore. But I know that there are other things that you can listen to, and I just wanted to thank everyone that does listen to this show. And comes back, however frequently you come back, I do appreciate it, because if no one listened, I wouldn't do it. And now that I do have to say this, I haven't said this to you yet, but it's kind of, I mean, the stakes are being, you know, kind of raised, you know what I'm saying? So I think we have to elevate our game, joking aside.
I think we can do that. There's obvious room for improvement.
Well, I mean specifically in audio quality, which is an easy fix, and also guests. We do have. I want to segue this into emails very quickly here, because I did get a question this week. You mentioned Mayor's Manor. I got a question from an emailer, basically asking, do we plan on doing the season preview with the different teams, whether it be in the Central Division? Remember, we had Buddy Oakes, President of Glass, one time. We had the guy from the Red on the Wings. Do we plan on doing that? Probably. One of the things about interviews, and I learned this with a couple of the people that we had on in those situations, I really have to go, and if they do a show themselves, I really have to go and listen to it, because it's one thing to have a guest, but it's a completely another thing to, we want quality, and, you know, I mean, a couple of situations we had people on that were, you know, they weren't very, what they were saying was, you know, good information, and it was insightful, but the delivery and, they didn't sound very authoritative. And we want to try to avoid that. You know, we don't want people falling asleep during this, any more so than we do. We put them asleep. And, some people, you know, I mean, we don't want, this isn't a show, and everybody that listens to this knows this, this isn't a show where we're going to have someone on and tell, you know, Red Wings suck, Black Hawks, that's immature.
There are shows out there for that. This just isn't one of them.
Yeah, we don't do that. To answer your question is, I think we're going to do that. But again, I want to make sure that if I have someone on, that they're going to be good, and that it's something that you can enjoy. Hey Chris, do you think that Semin would have been? This is Alexander Semin, who signed that 1-year deal, $7 million with Carolina today. Do you think Semin would have been a good fit for the Hawks? No. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago with Al Smaglia. Alexander Semin out there on the market. The Blackhawks are looking for a second-line center, unless you believe that Patrick Kane is their second-line center, which I don't know that many people do believe that. But they're looking for a second-line center. Alexander Semin, everything else aside, is not a center. So you can bring in Alex Semin, but he's going to be a winger on either Taves or Patrick Kane's line. And that's not what the Hawks are looking for. So, unless obviously it's done. It's not going to happen. But I just don't. I don't think Alexander Semin is a cancer. You know, people have labeled him a cancer. I don't think he's a cancer. But. The one thing that would concern me is that, I mean, he was just on a 1-year deal with Washington, and you would expect him, you know, he played 77 games last year. He had 21 goals and 54 points. 14 playoff games, he had 3 goals. I mean, is for the money, I don't care about term, is he a difference maker? I don't think so. So no, he doesn't really help in, you know, he makes you even more of a finesse team than you already are. He doesn't solve any of your issues up the middle, except for basically framing Patrick Kane permanently as your center, which I don't think is a situation you want to be in. So no, I don't think that ever made sense. I never believed anything about that. It made no sense. Hey, Block, what do you think the chances of Kyle Beach making the Blackhawks out of training camp? If not Kyle, odds for others. This is interesting. A week or so ago, I was talking to somebody about Kyle Beach. And this person was basically kind of painting a picture to me that they were kind of, you know, believing in, I guess, that a situation where if Kyle Beach has a great camp, and, you know, Kyle Beach has been in Chicago nearly all summer. He's working out at the United Center. He's living here, which is, you know, and I know that the Blackhawks are pretty happy with him at this point. After he had that shoulder surgery, he worked really hard to get himself back to the point where he was gonna, you know, he was able to make it back for the last month of the season. And that was a big thing, because there was a point where Kyle was in an evaluation period where doctors had to say, okay, is he making enough progress here to where we can allow himself or Kyle to continue pushing and working as hard as he is to, you know, get himself to a return? Because, I mean, Rockford, you know, this is something that was being talked about in like mid to late January. At that point, the IceHogs were far, far out of the playoff picture. So there was no reason to rush him back. And, you know, here they were 3 months after surgery, basically having to decide, well, do we shut him down? Do we sort of extend his rehabilitation program out? You know, but no, I mean, he was working, you know, hard enough that he was not just, he was probably a little bit ahead of schedule, but, I mean, he was right on schedule to make it back before the season over, and he worked that hard. And so they didn't shut him down. They kept him on a pace to get him back, and he got back. And he impressed a lot of people. And then his decision to stay here in Chicago, which is in part because his girlfriend is here. But he's here, and he's staying here all summer, and he's working out, and a lot of people are impressed by that. As far as his odds for making the Blackhawks, I think that if Kyle has a great camp, and this is getting back to what I was talking about with someone from there, if we were basically just talking, like, if Kyle has a great camp, like, I mean, a great camp, meaning he's impressive in the games that he plays, he scores a few goals, and, you know, I mean, I don't see Kyle as a fighter in the NHL. I don't see that. I think he's an agitator that drops the gloves every once in a while. But if he can get his footwork and his first two-step explosiveness, if he can improve on that, and that's what that's what he is doing this summer, is working more on lower body than anything else. He could surprise some people, and it was just something we were going back to, you know, previous season when players had great camps. They came up, they played in the NHL for a month, and then they went back to the AHL, and then maybe a better prospect went back, you know, went to the AHL for a little bit more seasoning. And specifically, we were talking about Beach and Brandon Saad. A lot of, you know, there are people that are kind of split on Saad and thinking that he's gonna, you know, he's got a roster spot basically saved for him. And there's also some people that think that he probably will need a month in Rockford. So there is that thought, whether it's Kyle, whether it's Ben Smith, whether it's Jeremy Morin, there is that thought that there's a chance for someone to sneak in and get themselves on the roster that you're not thinking about, while Brandon Saad goes back to Rockford for just a little bit more seasoning. You know, You know, we'll see. But with Kyle, it's all about his skating and his quickness. His first few steps, it can make him a lot better player. That just hasn't been there. Lower body strength. You know, he can score goals. He needs to focus a little bit more on the ice about being in the play effective instead of behind the play antagonistic. But, because I think he could be more of a force that way. But, if you want me to put a percentage on it, I'd say 20-25% chance. But, because you just don't know with him. But I do think there's a chance. Here's one. Hey, Chris, what are Patrick Sharp's reasons for not wanting to play center? How do we know that this is his decision or not? And if it's a coach's decision, what is it Q and Stan Bowman see in Sharp's game that limit him from playing the position, center? What are Patrick Sharp's reasons? I don't know. I don't know Patrick Sharp personally. I think he just doesn't want to play the position. Patrick Sharp came up a center. He came up in the Flyers organization a center. He came to the Blackhawks a center. When he got to the Blackhawks, his first two seasons, he played center. He started out as a fourth line and a third line center on the Blackhawks. That's what he was. And then, when was it? He had a bit of a breakout his 06-07 season, but it was the 07-08 season that he had the big breakout year. That was the 36-goal year. At that point, I think his mentality as a player changed, and that he thought of himself as a sniper. And over the years, 34, 33 goals seasons back-to-back these last two seasons, it's pretty damn good. But I think Patrick Sharp's overall game, I think, has regressed a bit. He used to be much better. Not much better, but he used to be better in his own end. He used to, I don't know. I'd like to see him at center. Because I think, again, any line that Patrick Kane's on, he's the puck distributor. So it's not essential that your center on the second line, if he's playing with Kane, is a puck distributor. It's not essential. And again, all things being perfect, you got Taze and Hossa on the first line, Patrick Kane on the right wing on the second line. Whoever's in the middle, he has to be competent. He has to be somebody who plays 200 feet, which is a concern with Patrick Kane at center. And he also needs to be someone who's strong. Is Patrick Kane strong enough to play 82 games at center? I don't think so. 200 feet, playing that physical game that the center position has become. I don't know. I don't think so. So you'd rather see Patrick Sharp there, and maybe Patrick Sharp's all-around game comes back into form if he goes back to center, and he's still going to score a lot of goals because he's got Patrick Kane setting him up. So I don't know. I don't know the reasons why they won't go back to that. Why Patrick Sharp is off limits from the center position. I don't know. It's annoying, and I know a lot of people are annoyed by it. Not necessarily within the Blackhawks. I'm not saying that. Other people that kind of observe, watch what we do, Tekken City Hockey being one of them. But, he was a decent, he wasn't a great face-off man, but he was a decent face-off man. I don't know. Rick Nash got traded. Any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, we knew it was coming. I didn't think it was going to take nearly as long as it did, but, you know, I don't think it was a huge shock that he went to the Rangers either.
Rick Nash said that he would have waited all summer to be traded to the Rangers. The funny thing about this deal is that this was basically the deal that was on the table at the trade deadline. And, you know, Scott Housen's taken a lot of heat. I think that he basically caved in here. If I was Housen and if I didn't make this deal or what was the framework of a similar deal at the trade deadline, and I waited all the way to this point, and I know the Rangers want Rick Nash, I'm not making this deal without Ryan McDonough, Chris Kreider. You know, you're not going to get Chris Kreider, but I think you got a hard line for him. I'm not big on Delzato, but one of those guys, Carl Hagelin. You're not going to get Derek Stepan. You know, I think what the Rangers did was say, okay, if you want Brandon Dubinsky, then those guys that I just mentioned are off the table. It's like either one of those guys or Brandon Dubinsky, but not both. I'm sure that's what they said, but if I'm Scott Housen, you know, Rick Nash is my franchise player. I need a blue chip prospect in return for him. And I love Brandon Dubinsky. I think Brandon Dubinsky is going to be great for what the Columbus Blue Jackets, the direction that they need to go in, which we've talked about before. The star thing in Columbus doesn't work. I think they have to look at what a team like Phoenix has done. And, you know, just rounding out your roster and making it very difficult to play against, or, you know, kind of like a St. Louis. Yeah, they need more talent. Yeah, it's going to be rough for them. But if they go in that direction, a Nashville Predator direction, maybe they've got a shot at being competitive. You know, they need to draft. They'll never win if they don't start drafting better. Never win if you don't draft well. You just won't. Not in this day and age. But, and I've seen a lot of people that are like making fun of this deal. Brandon Dubinsky's a nice centerpiece, but as we talked about, they needed to get a few players back for Nash that could contribute, you know, on their first and second line. And Dubinsky's a nice centerpiece. To me, you got to get one of those other guys. You know, instead of Tim Erickson, you got to get McDonough. You know, or if he wanted forwards, you got to hold out for Carl Hagelin. You know, the Rangers knew to give up or to get Rick Nash that they were going to have to trade Brandon Dubinsky. But if you want a player like Rick Nash, you'd have to give up one of your top prospects. You just have to. Or Columbus should have demanded it. And it came to a point where, you know, I think Housen folded early, and I don't think there was really no reason for him to. But he folded early, and I think it was a mistake. But Dubinsky's going to be a really good player there. And they're on the right track. I mean, they've got guys that are tough to play against that are, you know, they come to play every night. R.J. Umberger. I mean, they're not very attractive names, but they're solid players. They've got some of those guys there. Then they got James Wisniewski. I don't think it's the end of the world for them, but God, how did the Rangers make that deal and not give up one of those least haggle? I mean, that's just crazy to me. All right, before we go, I'm going to tell that story. You don't need to remind me. I remember.
All right.
Okay. So, my dog, which I'm actually worried about. I'm going out of town here pretty soon, and this is another issue. Someone's going to have to watch my dog because I'm going to be out of town for like 4 or 5 days, and my natural idea was to bring my dog over to my parents' house. Well, my parents currently are dog-sitting my sister's dog, who, off the top of my head, I don't know what kind of dog it is, but it's a big dog. It's a very rambunctious lady dog. Not well behaved at all. It doesn't like go, you know, do its business in the house, but it's not trained very well. It doesn't listen. And a couple of weeks ago, the dog, my sister's dog that my parents are sitting, was left unsupervised with my parents' bunny, who was out running around like he does. Well, my sister's dog killed the bunny. And getting back to my dog, Rutu is not much bigger than a bunny. Rutu is basically a foot tall. I don't know, he doesn't weigh very much. He's a foot tall. Now, he thinks he's the Incredible Hulk, but he's not a big guy.
And no. I took him, not at all.
No. No. And he thinks he could kick the shit out of anybody, including me, but he can't. He's only a foot tall, and he's like 8 pounds. So I took him over to my parents' house over the weekend to introduce Rutu and Abby is my sister's dog's name. And Abby immediately was trying to attack Rutu and snapped at him before Rutu was swept up into the air and into someone's arms, and or my mom's arms. And then they went to go get a muzzle. Well, it's not really, my concern really isn't, I think they can, you know, if they keep the dogs away from each other, but my concern here is that if Abby and the bunny were left unsupervised, maybe Rutu and Abby are going to be left unsupervised, and, you know, I don't think that Abby actually, yes, I do think Abby can kill Rutu, and I'm very concerned about this. So I think I'm going to have time on Sunday to go out there again, but I'm very concerned that I need a plan B. I need someone to protect my little Rutu and watch him for a few days.
Yeah,
I don't want to board him. I don't want to do that. I can't do. But I've already lost two animals this year, and I can't come home to that news. So we're gonna have to see. But the story I want to tell. So yesterday, I come home, I let Rutu out in the backyard. He's walking around, he's doing his business, and all of a sudden, there's this bush in the backyard, and he goes up to the bush. And he's like looking underneath the bush, and he's kind of sniffing. He didn't get all the way underneath the bush, but it's obvious that he's interested in something. So I go get away from there, and so I'm looking around the bush. I'm like, what is he looking? What is he looking at? And I get down like pretty low, and I look, and I see a rat. Now it's like 6:30 probably. So it's, you know, still bright out. And I look, and I just see this rat. I'm like, God damn it. Well, as I look closer, the thing is, it's seated, like, in a sitting position. It's not, like, laying on its side. It's in a seating position, but it's motionless. And there are flies all over this thing. And my first thought was, this is a dead rat. Now, it's funny to me that he was in that position. I mean, you wouldn't think that, but, you know, who knows? I'm like, but, I mean, there's flies all over this thing, on its tail, on its body, but there's like 6 or 7 flies eating this rat's face. And so my thought is like, damn it, I gotta get rid of this rat before it starts decomposing. This thing, they eat this rat, it's gonna stink like hell. I'm going to have other rats, because rats eat other dead rats. I'm going to have other rats come. Like, I got to get rid of this thing. But it was in a spot underneath the bush that it was going to be really difficult for me to get at this thing, probably without putting on an industrial glove and grabbing a hold of this thing, at least by its tail. And I'm dreading this. So I'm keeping looking at this thing, and I'm like, I'm just kind of, looking at him, kind of like, what the hell am I? So I'm thinking. I bend over again, and I'm looking at it. All of a sudden, it moves its right front paw. Superstar, I jump 6 feet in the air. I mean, not quite. I probably jumped 6 inches backwards and maybe a quarter inch off the ground total. But I was startled. I mean, all it did was basically move its right paw just like a little bit. This rat, Superstar, was so terrified of my dog's presence. One foot tall, little Rutu, was so terrified of my dog's presence that the root of the bush, the wood there, it jimmied itself into a position, into a seated position, and sat there perfectly still, playing dead, allowing flies to eat his face off instead of making a run for it.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've never been in a position where I was threatened to get eaten by anything, so I can't put myself into the rat's position. But Rutu is not, even as a rat, I can't imagine Rutu being this menacing. You could probably scamper away from Rutu if you really, really tried.
Well, yeah, because Rutu's just looking at this thing. And, like, I think in his mind, he's like, oh, somebody to play with, Like, that's probably what he was thinking, And so at that point, I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Is this thing in the process of dying and, I'm just watching it die and watching flies eat his face off for my personal enjoyment on a Wednesday evening? So I picked Rutu up off the ground, and I walked over to the bush, and I stomped real hard, thinking, like, okay, I'll startle him, and we'll see what he does. Maybe he'll make a run for it, and I don't want Rutu running after him. Well, I stomped, and he did. He moved, 2 feet to the other side of the bush. Probably 2 feet total to get, into a new position. I'm like, okay, well, he's not that close to death. He was able to move. And then I kicked the fence. This bush is up against. I kicked the fence, and then he moved again. And I'm like, all right, Rutu, let's get the hell out of here. And I went out later on at night, and I looked under the bush, and he was gone. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert on rats. I don't watch Animal Planet, but maybe somebody could let us know. Like, is that like what rats do? Like, they're so scared of conflict like that they'll let flies eat their carcass off. I mean, there's flies were on his eye, like chewing on his eye, and he was just sitting there perfectly still, playing dead. I wouldn't say it made my Wednesday, because it didn't, but it was certainly a highlight of my Wednesday.
Yeah, I can see how that could be a highlight for you.
Anyway, so you won't be able to have any fun. If I were to ask you, Superstar, do you want to have fun this weekend? Your answer would be no.
Yeah. My answer would definitely be no. I mean, okay, now I want to have fun. I'm just not going to have it.
Okay. That's a bummer.
Good. You're telling me.
Cubs tickets this weekend.
Ooh, that's enticing.
Well, you let me know.
I don't know.
right, we're gonna get going here. Hopefully, the Blackhawks will make some news. Maybe we'll do a show on the CBA, some other stuff that we didn't get to tonight. I don't know if we're gonna have time to do a show next week. I'm in and out of town, so we may not do one. But then, I don't know. We'll keep you posted. That sound good, Superstar?
That sounds good. Worst case scenario, radioexposed.net.
Radioexposed.net. We'll be there pretty soon. I don't want to say when we're going to be there, and I don't even know when we're going to be there, but we'll be there.
We will.
All right, everybody. I want to thank, sincerely, I want to thank everybody. 3-year anniversary, and everybody that's been listening, all the new listeners, all the people that have been with us for a long time. Thank you. I really do appreciate it, and we'll try to get better, and we'll try to improve some things. And we're definitely going to have some really good guests, and our guests that we've been having for a while, and we're going to bring obviously a lot of people back, and the regulars and all that. So once again, thank you for 3 years, and hopefully for as long as I can do it, we'll keep doing it. And I guess that's it on that. Superstar, say goodbye to the people.
Goodbye, people.
All right. I think that's it. There we go. All right. TheThirdManIn.com, PuckChatter.com, and BlogTalkRadio.com/TheThirdManIn is where you can find all this stuff. Also on iTunes, type in The Third Man In, and you probably find us in the podcast section, where it's free to download and listen to this. Automatically, I believe it'll download. That sounds like a deal. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you next time. Good night, everybody.
I don't mind all the cars dancing with my girl. That's fine. I know them all pretty well. And I know.
People and have to walk out in shame with your tail between your legs.
Yeah, so?
Yeah, I see what you mean. I forgot who I was dealing with.